Justice League, past, present, and future. Welcome to Strangers and Aliens, bringing religious thought and theory at a faster than light rate of measurement. I'm Ben Avery.
I'm Steve McDonald.
I'm Dr. Jace.
And we are back. And yes, everybody, it is Strangers and Aliens, although this new opening may be confusing. But we'll explain it all in time. We just wanted to try something, you know, new. Meanwhile, I'm here, joined by my two lovely assistants.
I'm lovely.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with you calling, referring to us as your lovely co-host.
Well, you know, it's...
Can I be lovely and still have my man card?
No.
That was revoked.
All right.
We are here partially to refute part of the feud that was... foisted upon us. Foisted, is that the right way?
Foisted, yeah. I had sensed some foisting going on.
There was foisting. They foisted us. Foisted upon something on us.
Is that a sin or a crime? Foisting?
Foisting?
Yeah.
I don't think it could be a sin if you do it the wrong way, I guess.
Well, it's like, you know, Three Stooges. I was foist.
I was foist.
I was foist.
I've never heard them say that.
It had never been foisted. No, but it's
a really good example, though. You actually kind of sound like Curly.
That's my life's ambition.
Yeah. Is it?
To play Curly in the movie about the Three Stooges that no one wants to see.
If you're Curly, then who are we?
I'm Mo. I honestly, I wouldn't be Curly.
I'm Mo.
I'd be Mo. Think, no, yeah, you, no. Oh. Steve, you'd
I'd
be Curly.
Harpo.
You'd
I think.
Be Curly, and Jace, you'd be Larry.
I want to be Harpo.
And I'd be Curly Larry. Joe.
Are you saying you're Mo?
I'm Mo.
Can I be Harpo?
If you slap me, I'm not going to take it like they do, just so you know.
They don't take it. They try and give it back every once in a while. In the good episodes, they give it back.
Yeah.
And this is a good episode, so when I slap.
Oh, yeah.
See, in my family, I'm the Mo.
You're the Mo?
I am the Mo.
Mo. How do you like it?
We are way off track here.
Actually, I think Steve should be Kemp or Shemp or whatever his name is. Shemp.
Shemp. Yeah, Kemp is an outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers, I think.
Oh, well, Kemp.
So our topic is the Justice League, and we are going to talk about some of the stuff that's going on in the Justice League right now, some of the stuff that we hope will be happening with the Justice League in the future. Some of the stuff that happened with the Justice League in the past. We are also going to respond to the Sci-Fi Christians...
poop?
Whatever it is.
Yeah. to their... I don't know what we're responding to. We're responding to Superman. They don't like him. So we're responding to that because we do like him. And we're going to tell them why they're wrong to not like him.
Yeah.
Okay, but before we talk about the Justice League stuff, and before we get into the feud, although there's something to do with that coming up right now, we have some house cleaning stuff to do. First of all, there is the feud that we've mentioned, and you know our beginning music here that we did. It's a loving, tongue in cheek. You know, we're doing that fake little fake out music there. It was fun to do though, and
it was very fun to do.
I'd do it again. See, but I had to say.
But that's just because Ben. That's because you're super.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks.
Oh no.
Okay. So here's the problem. They called us out in their last episode about our interview with C.K. Kubasik. Okay. Interestingly enough, though, I also called ourselves out on that.
Yeah.
They say we ripped them off on that. Now everything else that they've ever done. That they've accused us of ripping off, they have nothing to stand on. I did not know about them when we did those things. Right. When we did this interview, I knew about it because Matt told me about it, my nemesis. He told me that they'd already done it. I listened to it. I linked to it in our show notes because it's a decent interview. Because they had C.K. Kubasik, you know,
yeah.
And he's an interesting guy. Okay, there's some validity to that. It's not a ripoff. I wouldn't call it a ripoff. I would call it a... Oh, we're doing it too, but I could see the spin. Okay. But I have found a even more egregious ripoff. Steve, you know about this. Dr. Yes. Chase, this is brand new to you. Later. All right. October 3rd, 7:04 p.m., I got onto Facebook and I posted this. Hey, friends! Exclamation point. That's an important detail here. We have a request for you. Ellipses. That's also important. There's spaces in between each period in that ellipses, by the way.
Thank you so much.
No, this is important. Could you nominate us for the podcast awards in the religion category? It's one way to help us get the word out about the podcast. And then there is a link, http://podcastawards.com. Okay, I posted that October 3rd, 7:04 p.m. Since then, Angela Buzzard, she did it. Bud Rogers, he did it from that link. There's other people who did it from the link on my own page. Also, I would add my nemesis. And please take note of this time, Dr. Jace. My nemesis, Matt Anderson, says, sorry, I have to vote for the Sci-Fi Christian on this one. You're my second choice, though. Smiley face. Right. That's nice, right? Thursday, October 4th, he wrote that at 10:11 a.m. Now, I present to you the smoking gun.
And it's like not just smoking from the barrel, it's like smoking from like the handle and everything.
Yeah.
It's like made of smoke. This is a gun made of smoke.
I wouldn't go that far, okay.
Well, it's a smoking gun anyway. Go ahead.
October 4th, 2012, at 10:18 a.m. So 7 minutes after Matt Anderson wrote that nice little, sorry, haha. Hey friends, exclamation point. We have a request for you. Ellipses with no spaces. Could you nominate the Sci-Fi Christian for the 2012 Podcast Awards? Oh, there's a year there. Yeah. In the religion inspiration category. Oh, it says religion and inspiration. Okay. It's one way to help us get the word out about the podcast. Let's take a look at that again. Strangers and Aliens. Hey, friends, we have a request for you. Could you nominate us for the Podcast Awards in the religion category? It's one way to help us get the word out about the podcast. Sci-Fi Christian. Hey, friends, we have a request for you. Could you nominate the Sci-Fi Christian for the 2012 Podcast Awards in the religion inspiration category? It's one way to help us get the word out about the podcast.
Well, you know, I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty impressed that Matt knows how to copy and paste. That's impressive.
Even more impressive, he changed some of the words.
A couple.
A couple.
Yeah.
Now, actually, technically, Ben, according to academic standards, it's still plagiarism.
Oh, I know, because this is the thing. When I taught high school journalism, I had to look for this every issue of our newspaper, because if there's any kind of plagiarism at all, it disqualified that issue of our newspaper from being eligible for any awards or anything. Okay.
Well, you know, I actually – now everything – the picture has come into full view for me. Now I understand. Now I know why they don't like Superman. What does Superman fight for?
Truth, justice, and the American way.
So truth, first of all, they're distorting what we were putting up there. Justice, because they're doing something that's completely unjust. And then for the American way is working hard yourself, not ripping off someone else's hard work.
So it depends on what side of the case
off. We know that the reason why they hate Superman is because they are un-American. No, I don't want to say that. I'm joking. But now we get it. Jace. We understand why they don't like Superman. He's too clean cut for them.
Dr. Jace, do you have to do this when you get papers? Do you have to go through and take sections of the paper? This is what I would do. I would Google section of the paper that didn't sound like the kid's writing.
And no, actually now – we actually have software where we can actually research stuff and check to make sure that it's not ripped off.
It was always bittersweet when I found someone. I would Google a sentence, find it, and be like, oh,
I know.
Why'd you do
that? Don't
want
to get them in trouble.
Danny.
Yeah. But
then I was always like proud of myself because I was like, oh, I caught him.
Yeah.
I did it.
Well, I make sure very, very clearly I let them know what we are able to do now, and I let them know what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, because I actually have to report them,
And even minor infractions of plagiarism, for instance, if you don't cite your sources correctly, I have to notify that if someone, it's a minor, it's considered a minor infraction of plagiarism, but I still have to report it.
Yeah.
So, and Matt,
how hard is it just to write, it's all from Wikipedia? I mean, well, how hard is that to do?
Matt, I'm going to have to report Matt to the higher ups.
Well, I don't know if the podcast plagiarism awards have, you know, that standard of plagiarism, but there is the smoking gun right here. Matt Anderson, 10:11 a.m. October 4th, saw, maybe even before then, but commented on our post.
That's bad.
7 minutes later, posted the exact same wording.
That's
I mean, I guess if you're going to copy, you're going to copy from good.
Not even Lex, you know. Not even Lex Luthor would have stolen that.
Wait, what are you saying? Wait, is that against them or against me?
No, against them.
Okay, all right.
They don't like Superman, so I'm throwing in a villain reference there.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I just had to get that off my chest. I had to call them out, and we're going to address the whole Superman thing, later on the episode. But yeah, so Sci-Fi Christian, you have been caught red-handed.
BUSTED, you are busted.
We have a couple other things we need to take care of real quickly. The podcast awards that we just mentioned. We would love to have your help nominating us in the podcast awards for the religion category. If you go to podcastawards.com and you can enter in one podcast for each category, but you have to do them all at the same time. So if you wanted to, say, nominate the Audacity to Podcast, which is a great podcast about podcasting, you could nominate them in the technology section. Right. If you wanted to nominate the Aquaman Shrine, which is – or not – no, it's the Fire and Water Podcast. It's about Aquaman and Firestorm. It's very niche, yes, but I actually listen to it and like it a lot. you could nominate them in the entertainment section. You just have to know the name of the podcast and the website. So if you – when you go to podcastawards.com – and if you would put in Strangers and Aliens and then put in our website, strangersandaliens.com, that would, that nomination helps us to actually get into the contest. And if we get into the contest, that helps us really get to spread the word about the podcast. We really appreciate that kind of help.
Do they have, Ben, can you tell us a little bit about the awards? Is it just nomination for the podcast itself? Do they have best host, best interview,
it's
best technology?
Just podcasts. There's a whole series of different categories. There's cultural arts, there's entertainment, gaming, food and drink, general, pod safe music. I mean, it's all just the podcast. And then
pod safe music. I'm going to go on and vote for that.
Well, you have to, have a podcast in mind, but then there's also the People's Choice, which I guess you could nominate, like us for both of those. I really doubt that enough people are going to nominate us for People's Choice, but, if you have enough nominations, what can happen is we end up getting put into the actual voting. And when the voting starts, you can vote, I think, once every day for your favorite podcasts, and then the winners come out of the voting. But the nominations we're doing right now are just to get us into where we can get votes.
I'm going to nominate us for the self-help genre.
I don't think that genre means that you need help yourself.
Okay. Oh, I was actually trying to do a ministry for Steve.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's that's not what that is.
So we're self-help because yourselves are helping myself?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, what we can do, though, Dr. Jace, is we can actually watch that category, see who gets nominated and see who's getting voted for, and maybe send some of those Steve's way.
Oh, okay.
And
that sounds great.
That'd help them out. Okay, so speaking about getting the word out, and by the way, we would really appreciate it if you were doing that, but we are doing something else to celebrate our one-year anniversary. Guys, it's coming up super quick. November 14th is when we posted – 2011 is when we posted our first episode. And so we are going to do what I have called – and this is the final title, because as soon as it's entered into our blog – so guys, if you're going to – ambush me about this, you got to do it now. I'm calling it the Super Fantastic Facebook Fan Contest of Awesome.
Well, that sounds good except for the va part.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'd take that out.
Okay, now I can't edit that out because you've referenced it and I don't feel like making two cuts. So here's how it works. Everyone who has liked our Facebook page in the past, which is facebook.com/strangersandaliens, is eligible to win unless you are a host or live in the same house as a host. Okay, so that means my wife is not eligible to win, but that's okay.
My dog cannot win.
Your dog cannot win.
Well, my wife lives in the garage. Does that count?
Yes, that would not count. I mean, she could do it then, I guess.
Okay.
Right. We do need to probably have a... maybe find some of the self-help podcasts for your marriage there. But okay, so I will say this, that if you've co-hosted in the past, you are still eligible for the contest. But Krista, because she lives in the house with you, Steve, is not.
Right.
If you want to be entered into the podcast, into this contest, and you already have liked our Facebook page, just I'm going to put up a note on our Facebook wall about this, and just put in a note underneath it saying I want in, and you're entered. That's an entry for you. But this contest is about getting the word out about Strangers and Aliens. So if you know someone who likes science fiction and or fantasy and or horror and or comic books and or any kind of speculative fiction, and they also like, and this is not an or, this is just and, Christianity and theology and that kind of thing. If you know someone basically who might enjoy this podcast, tell them about us, ask them to like our page, and if they like our page, they are automatically entered into the contest. And here is...
cool.
Here's the big part. If they tell us who invited them, that's you, dear listener, then you will be entered again.
That's cooler.
If they tell us who invited them, you get another entry. And there is no limit to how many entries you can have. The contest will run from October, whatever I posted this on. This episode is going to go live after that anyway, so it's already going on right now, until November 10th, 2012. And winners will be announced on November 14th, 2012, our birthday, the one-year anniversary of our very first episode. So how do you win? Well, like I said, you get entered by telling us via Facebook that you want to be entered. You get entered by liking us during the contest, if you're a new like. And you get entered every time someone that you've invited likes us. And people who like us during the contest, they get entered, but then they can also invite people and get entered again. It's all cool. On the podcast, we will draw names from a hat, literally a Superman baseball hat. Okay, so sorry, Sci-Fi Christian.
Yeah, it's an actual hat.
Like you're gonna
actually that even makes it sweeter.
like they even care about this contest anyway.
Yeah,
and then we will get in contact with you over Facebook to get your address so we can send you your prize. But you don't have to send us any kind of address or anything right now. Now here's the prizes. There is the Dr. Jace Inspirational Book Prize Pack. This is a copy of Dr. Jace's 1-Minute Devotional for Boys and No Girls Allowed Devotions for Boys book. So it's two books in there. Then there is the Kids Book Prize Pack, which includes a copy of Dr. Jace's Crazy Circus World, a copy of Ben's Arm Request Volume 1 graphic novel, and it also includes a copy of a comic book.
Special edition, special made.
By Steve and his daughter,
yep.
Based on his daughter's characters, Cookie Man and Dr. Pop.
That's right.
And this
that's the one I want to win.
and you and will
winner,
be drawn
and the winner
into
will
it,
have
right?
Their person that whoever wins will be featured in the comic strip in the comic book. So
I definitely want to win that one.
They're usually it's usually a 3-page comic with a cover. Okay, so it's basically an 8x11 piece of paper folded over, and you have a cover, and then 3 pages of comic goodness inside, and you will be featured in the story.
So you'll be drawn into,
yes,
a one-of-a-kind edition of a comic book. Although, Steve, I'm wondering, we should probably, when it's finished, put it on the website.
We could do that, yeah.
I think that'd be cool. So. Yeah. So we'll have it on the website. It'll not be lost, and you will be internet famous.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Or and also if you win and you're mild or mild mannered or you're just shy or whatever, you could also have you could give it to your daughter or your son or something, and they would be in the comic book with Cookie Man and Dr. Pop. So you could tell us who you want in there. I mean, it could be Dr. J's. I mean, it could be almost anybody.
So you could make your own one and have one of the characters of Strangers and Aliens be in the comic with you.
I don't know why you'd want to, but you could do that, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey,
you have the opportunity to get yourself in there, but you know, whatever.
You pick one of us.
You could put in three guys that you never actually met face-to-face. And
yeah.
Then there is the speculative fiction classic graphic novels prize pack, which includes three books from the Graphic Classics graphic novel series: Fantasy Classics, Science Fiction Classics, and Halloween Classics. So fantasy, sci-fi, and horror right there.
You know, it doesn't have my favorite one, Classic Classics.
Yeah, well, it just didn't fit the tone of what we're doing here.
Maybe next time.
There is the Time Flies book brick, which includes a copy of all eight books from my Time Flies series. Finally, this is the big one, the Hedge Knight prize pack. Okay, it includes the Hedge Knight graphic novel. It includes its sequel, the Hedge Knight 2, the Sworn Sword graphic novel. And both of those are cool enough. They're based on novellas by George R.R. Martin. They're graphic novels. It's a great story. I worked on it.
It also includes two old issues of Sonic the Hedgehog.
No.
Is that true? No. No, wait. I got the wrong memo. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I actually pitched to the publisher a two-page spoof comic called The Hedgehog Knight, but they did not. They were not interested at all.
What? 2 years from now, you're going to see that as a motion picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yes. So these are written by my buddy, George R.R. Martin, and... Yes, ow.
Wait. What was that? Yeah. I heard that.
That was my foot getting hurt when I dropped the name, yes.
Yeah.
But this also, I have to drop the name because this also includes a signed copy of a rare issue of number one of The Hedge Knight. This is the issue that was, the cover was painted by the Hildebrandt brothers. And it's signed not just by some goofball named Ben Avery. Although it will be. It's signed by George R.R. Martin himself. All right.
Wow.
So this is a pretty cool thing. If you're into, you know,
so can I try to recruit people? Can I win?
You're a host. And I'm sorry.
But he could like talk to his buddy and say, "Hey, buddy."
Well, wait, because there is this last sentence I was just going to tell you guys. You may not be into all these prizes, but I can tell you. And especially Martin fans right now, you'll know where this is coming from. Winter is coming. Of course, George Martin takes that in a different place. I'm taking it to this place. That means Christmas. Okay, so if you aren't into any of these books or you're maybe too old for, say, a No Girls Allowed Devotions.
Then you could give these things to us
there, no matter how
for
old
Christmas.
You can give them.
No one is ever too old for those, Ben. I have a fully grown male friend who uses that as his bathroom book. And he thinks.
I don't know if I would have left that part in.
It's as inspiring to him as his son. So
it inspires him in the bathroom.
It does. He really likes it. I don't. You know, I cracked up.
Are the pages
laughing.
Ripped out for strategic purposes?
I've never asked to view it, so I don't know.
Oh, that's scary.
I did just say that there was a, you know, wisdom for everybody in there. But you know, if you were to win one of these, you know, you could, for example, give it as a Christmas gift to Dr. Jace, or maybe even give it to someone that you actually know and like is part of your circle of life and that kind of thing. But
or Dr. Yeah. Jace.
So we're gonna start with the Justice League, though. Justice League. How many guys are reading comics right now? Steve?
No.
No? Dr.
No.
Jace?
Currently, I'm talking to you, so I'm not.
Ha 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 ha!
What?
No, but I actually I pulled out a bunch of my comics probably about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of my old Avengers and X-Men stuff.
Nice.
So, neither of you are reading Justice League right now, then?
No.
So you're not reading the storyline about Wonder Woman and Superman?
No.
No, I've been keeping up on it, you know, in the tabloids, but.
I'm training for a new job, so I have very little time for anything.
Yeah. Well, I've been reading it, and there was only one issue so far with it. But Superman and Wonder Woman are an item in the new Justice League comic. They are together.
That's not like a totally new concept, though, is it?
It is not.
That's
no,
been
it,
around.
Yeah, it's always been a thing. Like, you know, oh, when will they ever, you know, be together? But it never came to fruition. It was always Lois Lane or, you know, one of the other LLs. And
which never makes sense to me.
But it does if you think about it in a way that it's sort of like there's a fate connected to the LL thing.
Yeah. And, well, they you know, that into a WW, so...
Some men like blondes, some men like, you know, brunettes, and some men like people with double alliterative names.
Well, alliterative. To me, it's always like, well, if Superman got really, you know, excited and wanted to give Lois Lane a huge hug, he would, like, break her. So, to me, Wonder Woman makes sense.
Well, Superman can, you know, restrain himself. He can be meek. But, yes, if you wanted to be together with someone in more than just, you know, hey, here's a family way type of a thing. Oh, something's going on. And not have to worry about, you know, your spouse every single time the world is about to end. You would want to pick someone who's physically strong. So Wonder Woman would be the go-to for someone like Superman. But it's always been that type of a thing. When they reinvented Superman back in the 80s, Wonder Woman was much more, you know, like off the island, you know, straight off the island type of a naivete type of a thing. And Superman is sort of interested in her, and he actually does give her a big kiss on the cover of, I think it was Action Comics 600, something like that.
600. I remember seeing that ad when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was betrayal to me. Like, I saw this. It was worse than, you know, seeing Mommy kiss Santa Claus. It was like, wait a minute. This is not right. This is not right.
But the thing is that it followed up, and it's kind of a spoiler, but it's been 30 years, that, you know, she is completely taken aback by the whole thing. She's aghast at his effrontery and just, you know, diffuses the entire thing, and they end up, you know, parting nicely, but that's about it. So nothing ever came of it, and now I guess we're getting the full on effect here with the new reinvented DC.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. To be fair, this is they're starting the stories over at the beginning, and so yes, Superman and Lois Lane were married for how many years for us as readers and as viewers of like the Lois and Clark TV show,
right?
But this is starting over at the beginning, and it's also the beginning of that relationship of Clark Kent and Lois Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Clark to be with someone else as, you know, be interested in Wonder Woman, I mean, she walks around in a swimsuit all day. She's like the perfect specimen of women, you know, and she is your physical equal. So it would make sense that he'd be interested.
Right.
Except she could never take him home to meet Mommy.
Well, you know, actually, I did see one. I had one comic, and I didn't know anything about the Wonder Woman backstory about the island that men could not set foot on. And in that, but I had this one comic where he comes to the island to visit her because she's been hurt or something like that, and he's like floating, you know, like a foot off the ground because he can fly, so he's not setting foot on the island, technically speaking. And,
cheater.
Again, I thought that was kind of weird, but as a kid, because I had no idea what this island was. But
yeah.
So we have this new dynamic, but they've got with the Justice League comic, they've got the big heavy hitters in this book, and that's the one thing that I've never been a fan of Justice League when it was like all the B-list characters.
Yeah, Gypsy and Vibe and
So, Ben,
yeah.
Obviously, I know that Aquaman's in it, but which version of Aquaman? Is he the one with the hook hand, or does he have the magic water hand?
It's before that. I mean, none of that's happened. Again, this is the beginning of the Aquaman story in some ways.
So, because I'm looking at a cover here, and it looks like he has both of his hands.
He has both his hands, yeah. It's weird. This whole New 52 thing that they did, where they've rebooted the universe, it's not a full reboot. And so they say that superheroes have only been around for 5 years before each issue one came out. But Batman basically did everything he did And Green Lantern did everything that happened in his book before this. Aquaman, starting completely fresh. He and Mira never had a kid. He was never married to Mira. And they don't have that whole backstory. They're together now, but they don't have the whole relationship. Superman, erased. His whole past is gone. And so when he comes to Metropolis, he's meeting Lois Lane for the first time and all that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't completely make sense. But...
Well, I think with Batman and Green Lantern, I think they're classic backstories that's hard to change. I think Superman, they're trying to take him in another direction because I think the hard part is them trying to make him relevant to the modern audience.
No, I agree. The thing with that is they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to reboot the characters that need a reboot, like Aquaman. Aquaman, yes, really needed just to go back to basics.
Reboot.
Superman, they needed to go back to the beginning. I'm not sure what they've done with some of the other characters, like the Flash and that, but then they wanted to keep all this exciting stuff that's happened recently with Green Lantern and keep all the exciting stuff that's happened recently with Batman. And so they're keeping some of that stuff, but they're dropping other parts that, you know, the whole reboot that they're trying to do, they should have gone all the way, I think, and just started from scratch with everything. Batman as a concept, it'll survive a reboot. Green Lantern as a concept, it'll survive a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aquaman and Superman and some of those characters need the reboot. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me because the books I am reading, Aquaman, Justice League, Swamp Thing, I'm not reading any of the other books. So I'm reading the ones that started over fresh, and I'm enjoying them. But I agree. They needed to be recreated for this new generation because it's difficult to get into it. It's difficult go ahead.
One thing that I think the Justice League, it's in its inception, did well was bring together various leveled heroes and show how they can work together as a team. You know, it's not all super strength characters. Not all of them can fly. Not all of them can. I mean, had, you know, Batman and Superman. I mean, different ends of the spectrum when you're talking about strength. But, you know, when you're talking about someone who has mental abilities and someone who has, and just how they work together as a team using their weaknesses. Yes, because, you know, if there's a huge explosion, Batman's got to get out of there. You know, the Flash, he doesn't have. You know, super skin, he has to run himself out. So, you know, you have all these problems, but the thing is, taking those various leveled characters and making them work together. When I used to play role-playing games, like the Marvel superhero role-playing games and stuff, people would make up different levels of characters, and it was always difficult for me as the person running it to say, you know, okay, well, this one character, you know, Robin, you know, and the Hulk, you know, how are they going to team up and do something meaningful? And that was always a challenge to me. And I think the challenge of the Justice League is to take these various level characters and similarly the Avengers or X-Men or, you know, any the big team books, and to use the model that the Justice League created back in the, you know, late 50s, early 60s, and work it together, make it so it works, and when it's done best, that's when the stories rock.
Ben,
yes,
I have two questions for you, and the first one is just a quick one word answer.
Okay,
maybe you have more to say. What if you were to rate what you've seen so far of the new Justice League of the reboot?
Yeah,
if you had to rate it 1 through 10, 10 being it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Number one, it is, you know, basically like toilet paper to me. Where would you rank what you've seen so far?
Well, that's hard because I'll tell you, I honestly usually was a Marvel Comics guy, you know, and I find myself right now I'm only reading DC Comics because that's what's interesting right now. Justice League, I've seen some really stellar Justice League stories, but not a consistent series of stellar Justice League stories. With this current series, I think is really good, though. What did you ask me to rate it on?
Yeah, 1 through 10.
1 through 10? I give this a nice, solid 8 or 9.
Wow.
Because... Okay, go ahead.
My follow-up question to that is this. Is there a fear, or would you actually like it if the Justice League movie followed the new Justice League storyline rather than the classic Justice League storyline?
I don't think the classic Justice League storyline would work as far as like the first one that they did where it was Starro.
I'm talking about their backstories.
Oh, I don't think it would matter too much. Honestly, for a Justice League movie, the backstory of the characters has to be just that quick. What is it? You know, here's Batman. His parents were killed, and now he fights crime. Here's Superman. He was rocketed to Earth as a baby when his planet exploded. Here's Aquaman, who was king of the. Of Atlantis and didn't know it until just a few years ago. Here's Wonder Woman who is visiting the world of men from the island. You have to have these quick, fast one sentence stories. And you know what? I think Justice League is able to do that better than the Avengers would have been. With Avengers, if they hadn't done those movies, if they hadn't done Captain America and Thor and Hulk,
A lot of people don't know where those characters came from.
Right.
They don't
know
them like they know, Rocket to Earth as an infant.
And so imagine Avengers without all that. So you have Steve Rogers shows up and says, "Hey, I was in World War II and I was experimented on, and then I was left for dead in the ice, and now I'm here." And it's not going to work as well as just that quick, there was a chemical accident with lightning, and now I have super speed.
See, when I think of the Justice League movie, and they're talking about DC trying to catch up with Marvel, I like how Marvel did it. I like the individual standalone movies because there was this build-up. There was this kind of like, I look at Avengers as like a super movie, not just it's a movie. This is a super movie. I mean, you waited, and this is built up. And so by the time you get there, and first of all, I thought that all of the films of phase one, so to speak, what they've called it, phase one, I actually enjoyed them. I even enjoyed the most recent Hulk. I actually enjoyed it. I mean, it wasn't the top of my list, but it wasn't the first Hulk either.
They would all get passing grades.
Yeah, they'd all get passing grades. For this new one, I know they're talking about right now starting off with the Justice League and rebooting Batman, possibly the new reboot of Batman in this Justice League, which would probably mean he would be a central character, kind of like the entry character, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. I don't know. But what are some things that are a must in the movie? Like, what do you look for Justice League movie? What has to be there? What are you waiting for?
Well, I wish, in some ways, here's what I wish they would have done for DC: do a world's finest movie that's just about Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
All right, and actually do a rebooted Batman movie and rebooted Superman movie. Bring them together, though. Have this world's finest movie where it's just the two of them, and building that relationship, and then have a couple other movies, Green Lanterns, Flash, or whatever, and bring it for a Justice League movie. That would work, but I think that the smart thing for them to do right now is to do a Justice League movie with whoever they're going to use: Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Green Lantern, all those guys. Do the Justice League movie, do it well, make it stand alone, make it have nothing to do with Man of Steel, make it have nothing to do with the Dark Knight trilogy, just nothing to do with that at all. It's its own thing, and then maybe spin out other movies out of that if you wanted to, and kind of do the opposite of what Marvel did.
See, I would disagree, and here's the main reason why. I would love to see a Justice League movie right away. But strategically, I think it would be a poor choice, because here's the thing. If it's not well, and I don't mean just that it's not good, if it's not Avengers level, then you could taint all these other characters. First of all, if it bombs, you've just ruined your top franchises. Second of all, if it's not Avenger top level, then DC's brand takes a hit. And to be honest, I think half of the buildup was Avengers, was being able to see these standalone films, so that when you saw the Avengers, you cared even more about these characters because you already had been through a movie or two with them. And so for me, I don't think it's possible. And if I had to choose, one or the other, I have to say that I probably was a DC, although I love DC and Marvel. But Superman and Batman were my two favorite. And so even though that's true, I just can't imagine liking any Justice League movie as much as I did the Avengers because of the buildup. I don't think it's possible.
Well, that's the problem, because look at what they've already done. And, you know, Marvel is spinning out. They're getting Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Hulk, Captain America. And what did DC have? The Dark Knight trilogy that will not work with Justice League. Right. Superman Returns and Green Lantern. Like, they've already hurt their brand.
Well, that and the new Superman movie does not fit the tone either, because it's a more of a Nolan feel anyway.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, but it from my understanding, from what I've read, and I don't know how accurate this is, you know, because there was rumors that Ben Affleck was being courted to direct, and he said it's not going to work. My understanding from some of the people. And again, I'm not saying these are like insider sources, but from what I'm hearing from old friends in California, that they're wanting the Justice League to be that type, to be the Nolan, to be the Man of Steel, to be that gritty. So it is in complete contrast to what Marvel is doing. And I mean, it makes sense to me why they would do that, but
you're going to cut off a lot of your fan base though. You know,
no matter what they do, they're going to make a lot of money, but are people going to want to see another one?
But I don't – yeah, and I think that – I don't think they care, mainly because they have other franchises. For instance, you know, they have all these other younger franchises that they can pull in other, you know, people. I think the Justice League, they're trying to be different than Marvel and tell their own stories.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I want to see this movie. I want to see something. I want to see it work.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to tell you, I'm a little bit – Justice League is tough for me, and I'll tell you why.
I know why. You tried because out for it.
I auditioned for Justice League. I auditioned for Green Lantern, Batman, and Superman, and probably other characters, because they didn't really tell us. They were looking at the time. They were looking nationwide for new undiscovered talent. And I remember I was up in Philadelphia, and I was in Philadelphia with a bunch of other, you know, young people auditioning for these roles. And of course, these are like dream roles. And I'm sitting there reading scripts of characters that I dreamed of for the whole. So for me, it's always going to be tough, because I'm like, oh, just like Superman Returns, I auditioned for that. Oh. So what do you do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You move on.
No, I have a couple things like that where I was in the running for something, and now I see it on the shelf and I was not a part of it.
Yeah.
And there it is in the store. But not someone with my name on it.
Someone did it poorly.
Other than let me ask you guys this. What which superheroes has to be in Justice League? If you could pick your seven, so I'm going to limit it a little bit. If you could pick your seven superheroes in the Justice League, who would they be in the DC universe? Anybody in the DC universe?
Well, I would go with the main seven. I mean, I would go with the classic. I would go with Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and then I go with Flash, Green Lantern, Aquaman. I don't know if I would try and do like what they did with the Justice League cartoon, where it was Hawk Girl instead of Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I mean, it is a very much of a, you know, it's a men's club, except for Wonder Woman. But those main seven.
Yeah. See,
you just missed one of the main seven, though.
Martian Manhunter?
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. Who's not in Justice League anymore. In this reboot, it's Cyborg.
Right, right. And I think that was because they needed to add some diversity to the group.
That was one big part of it. Another big part of it was they didn't have anyone else they could put in there. I mean, they moved Martian Manhunter away, and they didn't have any character who was just natural in without changing it to be, you know, oh, it's Black Green Lantern. It's black so-and-so. I mean, they brought in Cyborg, and he works. It works. I like it Cyborg. Does not feel like in the story, it does not feel like, oh, we just added this character to make him be a part of the team because we needed color. No, he works as far as he's their connection. He's their nexus point. He's the guy that basically does all of the tech work for them.
And, yeah, I like Cyborg.
And coordinates the team. It's great. It's really
that's
good.
Cool.
So that's one change that I would keep. That if they're doing a movie, no problem, keep it. One thing I would add is I would give Wonder Woman pants.
Are you saying that Hal Jordan is your Green Lantern?
Hal Jordan, I think, is the Green Lantern that should be in the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to do that, though, after the Hal Jordan failed? Do you think they might bring in, you know, one of the others?
Well, they could bring in John Stewart just because he's recognizable. I remember I gave when I was working at the place where I worked with kids who were abused and who had been put in court, have been court ordered to be put into residential care. And I was working with these kids. I would bring in some comics for them. And one of them that I brought in was some Justice League. And one of the kids is reading it. He's like, why is Green Lantern white? Because his entire life, Green Lantern was John Stewart.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could go either way on that. John Stewart I like as a character. Hal Jordan I like as a character. Just don't like him as they did him in the movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. I could go either way. Hal Jordan was the one I looked at as a kid.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's my original. But I actually kind of like John Stewart a little bit.
I don't think it would hurt it if there was more than one and they had some sort of drama around why there's two of them there.
Two Green Lanterns, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what about you? Do you disagree on any of those points, Steve? Would you have anybody else in there?
No. I mean, it sort of gets to the point where what are the fanboys expecting to have there?
Yeah, I think you have to have Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
To me, Hawkman or Hawkgirl just aren't as compelling characters as Martian Manhunter. I mean, you could do so much with Martian. If I'm building a team, I don't want the guys with angel wings. I want the Martian Manhunter who can look like anything and can walk through walls and can control people's minds. That's the guy I want on my team.
Well, the only reason I was considering Hawkgirl is just to get another woman on the team.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
And in Smallville, they had Hawkman. And they really did an interesting story arc with him. So, you know, it's not like this character doesn't have a good backstory or the ability to have pathos or whatever.
If the Justice League movie does not have Martian Manhunter, I will be as upset as I was about the Avengers who did not have Vision. I mean, you can't.
Really?
It's the same caliber of character, too.
Yeah, exactly. I those are two of my favorite characters growing up, and it will just drive me batty.
But Vision wasn't, I mean, anywhere close to being an original Avenger.
No. He was cool, though.
He was a
big part of Avengers in the 80s.
He was, yeah. He was huge.
Part of that core team there.
Right.
So let me ask you guys this. Where were you introduced to the Justice League then?
Super Friends.
Yeah, Super Friends.
Yeah, and that's just it. That's where you get that core group of characters.
Except for me, because I was introduced to Martian Manhunter through the comics, and so Hawkman, to me, I was introduced to Hawkman from the very beginning, and I always preferred Martian Manhunter, even though I was not introduced to him right off the bat.
So did it bother either of you that they show Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman and Aquaman flying in the beginning credits of Super Friends? Because as a kid, that bothered me to no end.
They're jumping.
They're not jumping. They are flying. They're clearly flying.
Well, I was always confused because in some things, I always saw Wonder Woman flying in her invisible plane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I would see her in other places where she flies on her own.
Yeah.
So I was always... And then I saw other stories where Wonder Woman was basically the female version of Superman, and in others, she was far more like Batman, but with maybe more power. So I was always confused by Wonder Woman.
You know, I liked the Legion of Superheroes flight rings. I thought that was a really good basic element
to give. And if I had a superhero team, I would get some tech guy like Cyborg or Iron Man and say, why don't you make some flight rings? So just in case someone drops from a blimp or something, you know, we're not going to die.
Yeah, you could just have, you know, give Batman kind of one of his suits, just like his Iron Man equivalent suit that he probably has.
Yeah. You know, why don't you... there's interesting story arcs you could bring in with characters, you know, in a situation like that where, you know, Green Arrow says, you know, well, I'm here standing toe-to-toe with, you know, Green Lantern and Superman, and all I have is a bunch of trick arrows. You know, can you guys help me out here? can I wear one of your Superman armors or, you know, something like that? I mean,
well, let me ask you of the, I'll give you two questions of the same thing. Who is your favorite Justice League character? And actually, let me say this: who's your favorite non-obvious character? And what I mean obvious, I'm saying Superman and Batman. that's basically. And which one is the character who you like the least? I'll start, because I'm obviously going somewhere with this. Of the group, I like Aquaman. But I always think that he gets underserved, especially Super Friends made him just look silly.
Well, yeah. So Super Friends had to feature all the characters in every episode.
Right.
And so they had to find a way to get close to water so he could do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was ridiculous. Huh?
Can he do stuff without water?
He can, but, you know, we got to get him there. You know?
Yeah.
And so we're going to find a way to investigate this criminal. There's water nearby. And it made the storytellers there. It's the storytellers who made it ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman wouldn't have been ridiculous to, I think, a lot of people if they had just gone to him when they needed to go in the water and not gone to him when they weren't in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no doubt that Super Friends is the worst thing that ever happened to Aquaman. But, but I think that's why I kind of like his magic hand a little bit. Cause I think that makes him just as powerful as the Green Lantern.
Oh yeah.
He's just the guy that's I would want on my team. And my least favorite character of all of them is Wonder Woman, because I don't know who she is. I don't know. I mean, I remember I've seen lots about her, but I don't know. I don't connect to this. Of course, I mean, it's not meant for me, obviously, but I don't connect to this super secret women island or, you know, that I just don't connect with her. I'm a guy's not allowed.
Yeah.
On the planet? Like,
well, from what I understand, some stories, if a man sets foot on the island, they all lose their power or they all die or something. I'm not sure exactly.
Some curse or something.
And in other cases, it's just that they're banned and they're not allowed.
Yeah. You know, when Wonder Woman is done well, then she's done well. And when she's not, it's usually pretty bad.
But do you like the version where she's basically Superman but in a woman's body?
Yes, because she's different enough, and she has a different aspect to her than Superman. You know, Superman is truth and justice, and for her it's more I don't know, equality or something. You know, she wants to. She's sort of like, you know, Superman has adopted the Earth, and she sort of adopts America. And
here's the way I kind of see it, and the way I don't see it often enough, though. You have Batman, who is more the detective. He's more the guy who is looking for things in the shadows, sticking to the shadows and using the darkness as a weapon to help him. Then you have Superman, who's just out there. He's the light, all right? He is justice. He is a police officer, a Boy Scout.
Yeah,
Beacon. And then you have Wonder Woman, who is a warrior. And when they use her like that, I think that differentiates her from Superman a lot. She is more of a soldier. She is – I like it when she uses weapons. And I like it when they give her the like, Roman skirt thing, whatever mm-hmm. they call that, you know? That's the way I see it. I like Wonder Woman when she's.
You said you liked her in pants. Now you want her in the Roman skirt?
Skirt or pants, I don't care. I just don't like her running around in her underwear. All right.
I prefer Batman in a kilt.
That'd be kind of cool, too.
The Bat-Utila kilt.
Actually, no, I think I saw that in Batman Bold and the Brave. I'm fairly certain with all the different versions of Batman, there was one in a kilt.
Bold and the Braveheart.
One of your underrated ones and one your least favorite. Who's your least favorite Justice League character?
I don't think it's any secret that my favorite would be Aquaman. Based on what you're saying here. Yeah. And I like Aquaman in almost any of his iterations. I like him with the hand. I like him with the hook. I don't like him as much with the hook, and I don't like him with the hand. I'm not real familiar with him. But I like the idea of Aquaman being the king, you know, but who wants to serve the world, not just his nation, and so has to, you know, balance between the two and that kind of thing. As far as least favorite, I'm having a hard time thinking of one, honestly.
Space Monkey Gleep?
I like him. He's cute. He's cute.
Horrible. Horrible. I think I would have to go with Martian Manhunter.
Is your least favorite?
Favorite out of the non, you know, core, the none of the three, because he's like Superman plus, you know, and he can change his look and he has the psychic stuff and all that other stuff, but he has this great weakness, fire. It's not kryptonite, you know. it's fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone can have what his weakness is.
Yeah, we have that weakness. So, you know, I mean, so it's that type of a deal. And, you know, I sort of his character is interesting because it's so similar to Superman yet turned on its ear. And, you know, he just has a very different tone than Superman does. You know, he embodies more of the tragic, I'm the last Martian type of a thing than Superman does, because he's sort of like, well, I might have been the last Kryptonian, but I'm, you know, an Earth person now. I assimilate into it and everything. And Martian Manhunter, he can't do that unless he changes shape. I mean, he's green. Well,
here's the sad thing. All of these ones you're talking about, Superman, Batman, Aquaman's already out. Martian Manhunter and Green Lantern, they're all still in. Flash is still in. They're all going to have to compete in our tournament that is ongoing.
Yeah,
and so our own Justice League is going to have to beat up on each other. And don't tip your hand on who you think is going to win, but you know it may not be who you think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that who I think is going to win is going to win.
And that's
mainly because I run the bracket. And so if he doesn't, I can go ahead and change it anyway.
No. Because I'm the one that created it, so you can't do that. No.
Yeah, but you need me to do the bracket. And you gave me bad grades in that Doctor Who Revisited. Okay, so...
Here. I'm playing the world's smallest violin for you. Hold on. Nice.
That's a nice visual gag.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not visual here, so I'm just going to gag. But
everyone knows it, so...
Here's me poking your eyes.
So before we get into the feud here, I have one last kind of thing I wanted to say, and I want to get your feedback on it, because this is what I like about the Justice League, and that is that it reminds me of this idea, and it's a biblical idea. It's not just a biblical idea, but it's definitely a biblical idea. This idea of one body that has many parts, that needs the many parts. And I think the Justice League, when it's done well, is where they use the different parts and are able to say, okay, Batman's going to go over here. He's going to do what he's good at. Superman's going to go over here, do what he's good at.
Yeah.
Aquaman, he's there when they need to do something, you know, over in the water. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just that kind of thing. So I'm reminded, you know, then of that 1 Corinthians verse where it's just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So one body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. That's Aquaman right now saying, because I do not have a hand, and I have water instead of a hook. If ear should say, because I'm not an ear, because I'm not an eye, I did not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were sensitive to kryptonite, how would you fly? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
Excellent.
I don't know. I like that. And I kind of like that idea of looking at the Justice League and saying, you know, it's a lot like our community of believers, or, you know, not just your local church, although that's a part of it, but just the church in a whole, as a whole.
Now, Ben,
it's so true. And I'll just tell you, it's so hard being Superman. It's really
tough. I can only imagine. Feel. Now, Ben, and Jace, you can answer this too. What stories, storylines, or, you know, miniseries or whatever, do you think embodies that Justice League paradigm the best to you?
There are a couple. I couldn't give you episode titles because I don't know, but of the Justice League series, the animated series, that really play that out nicely. The new Geoff Johns Justice League series that's going on right now, it has that element, and it has a hard time bringing the element out because there's not much space, and that's the one big problem with any team thing is you got only so much space or so much time.
That's why I liked Justice by Jim Kruger and Alex Ross. It sort of expanded, you know, more than just the Justice League. It had the Metal Man and, you know, all that stuff, but really using the characters to full potentials in most cases, and broadening the characters in certain ways, and just seeing them on a huge scale coming together and doing this. And even though they have differences, you know, at one point Batman and Superman are talking, and, you know, you can tell they have ideological differences that are really different, but the effect of, you know, how it affects them to do what they do, they still can do the same thing together, even though they're coming from different ends of the spectrum.
I think, it's a little bit different. I think some of my favorite is when Superman goes rogue and they all have to band together to combat him because he's like the ultimate. So I kind of like how they have to depend on all the other people's skills to take him down. Which you find that when they take on the big bad guys anyways, but a lot of times you always have Superman saving everyone else's life.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing with that is, you know, Superman is like Bono. You know, where U2 would just not be U2 without Bono.
No.
You know, but Bono can go off and do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's fine. But once, you know, Larry Mullen goes off, what's he going to do? You know, who's going to care?
Yeah.
You know?
Like the theme song for Mission Impossible or something.
Yeah.
Something crazy like
Adam
that.
Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen did Mission Impossible. Who cares?
That's pretty cool.
Cared. Yeah, it's a great single. You know, it's a great, you know.
Yeah, but what's the B-side? Anybody know the B-side?
The B-side's the remix of the song. So, yeah, I mean, Superman, he can go off. He can be the greatest hero and not necessarily need them. The team, though, he does need the team. And he needs them in some ways just because he needs someone to hold him in check.
When he needs the team, he really needs the team.
Well, yeah. When something's happening that he needs the team, you know, look out.
Because yeah.
The world's in danger. But that's what makes Justice League story so great is that
you
know, it's big.
It's never, you know, oh, no, something's happening. I'll call Zan and Jaina to go with me. You know, it's never...
It was. He did do that in the TV series. But all right, so let's move on then. Let's move on, since we're talking about Superman anyway. Bizarro Ben over at the Sci-Fi Christian.
Can we say Bizarro Ben like that?
He said, me am love Superman. And which means I despise Superman.
Right.
In fact, his exact words, I wrote them down.
Me am love Superman. Yeah. That was his exact words.
Well, these are his exact words, translated into English. He's a boring, one-dimensional, simplistic, flat character that he despises. That's his exact words about Superman.
So one-dimensional.
So that's the feud. That's the feud. They that was their opening shot, I guess, on...
Not even two-dimensional. He's one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Well, we already talked about...
In line form, basically.
We already talked about his man card being revoked because he doesn't like Superman. Yeah. But,
right.
I think one-dimensional. I mean, first of all, you have to look at the character in context of when he was created, but I reject the notion just because you have a good guy who wants to do right that he's not a good character.
Well, that's the argument, Jace.
We have too many jaded characters. I mean, you have to have some beacon of light, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping they do with this movie, this Man of Steel movie. I really hope they do something basically to say, you know, here's someone who has chosen a life that's going to inspire people. You know, he's got these powers, he's got this responsibility, but he's not just Superman. He's an inspiration to the rest of the world. Now, I got in a fight with someone at a comic shop, though, where he basically said...
Was it like a fist fight?
This was not the fist fight, no. He said if Superman was real, he would not inspire people to do good. He would scare people into not doing bad, and people would get lazy and not care anymore. And I disagree. Partially because Superman, in a fictional context, it doesn't work that way because that's not the way stories work. You know, stories are more positive than the real world.
It would be really interesting if they went with a gritty tone to sort of get people in and to, you know, to go with that. And I think what we've seen in the trailers is sort of trending towards that, you know, a Nolan-esque type of feel to it. But then have this beacon, you know, where someone, instead of, you know, anyone can be Batman, well, no one can be Superman, you know? So instead of anyone can be Batman, anyone can, you know, take on all this stuff and do it, nobody can do what Superman can do. So he just transcends it. He becomes Superman, above man, the way, you know, the Nietzsche's version of Superman, something that's above mankind.
Well, let's unpack this statement here then. Boring, one-dimensional, simplistic, and flat. Now, I had to go back into a much earlier episode of theirs to get that because they just said, I don't like Superman in the last episode they did.
Right.
But here's my problem with what he's saying here, other than the fact that he's just so negative. Because Arobed is a very negative person when he wants to be, I think. He despises the character. I mean, how can we make someone love something or like something or even, you know, be open to something when he just flat out despises it? But
yeah,
I do think that there's a problem and a difficulty writing the Superman character.
Mm-hmm. For a modern audience.
Well, yeah, I mean, for a modern, yeah, and not just because of the modern audience, though. I think that part of it is the modern creators. The modern creators, I don't think, believe in right or wrong.
Right, yeah.
And I think that, you know, that he
says...
Postmodern
type of a...
He says simplistic. I think they have a very simplistic idea of good and evil that's just... how can you write about a character who is a beacon of hope and truth and justice and good when you don't actually believe that there is a truth? When you don't actually believe that... you know, because there is no right or wrong, how can you have justice?
Yeah.
I mean, we crave justice, but I don't think necessarily that, you know, modern writers of the character believe in justice. And that, now this is my observation, and this isn't like targeting one creator at all. It's actually just kind of looking at the lump sum of what we get in Superman. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, my fear with the movie, because Zack Snyder... He is brilliant as far as visuals go, but I don't trust his storytelling at all. So yeah, I think that we do end up with a one-dimensional Boy Scout who,
but you know what,
is a joke.
I have to give Bizarro Ben props for referencing Wayne Boring, who was one of the best known Superman artists. So yes, Boring. Okay, well there we go. That's a plus. In Superman's, I mean, Wayne Boring was—he drew the cover for Superman number one. So okay, that's a plus.
I don't think Superman is a plot is a negative or boring. I think that you know, like he was saying, whoever said the thing about people just being depressed or giving up or whatever. Who said that?
My buddy. Not that was not Ben.
Okay.
That was
because
my friend.
I think it's not true. Whenever you have, you know, look at Tim Tebow. Okay, he's not perfect, but you know, he's a pretty clean cut guy. And he does things, and you're kind of like, gosh, I didn't know that was possible. And he inspires people. And so I think that Superman is that beacon of hope. And I'm okay with him not being Batman. I'm okay with him not being cynical and not being, you know. Now, you know, I will say this, though. I love Superman. But I kind of do like the Superman that is not the godlike figure in this way, that he's not, I like the original Superman, which he was not so invulnerable to anything, you know, because then I think the issue with the Superman story is not that he's a boring character. It's just, how do you create a good villain for him?
Yeah.
I think that's the issue, because Lex Luthor, okay, he's a brilliant genius, but if Superman wanted to, he could just like X-ray vision, or he could just, you know, freeze him with his breath or laser him with his eyes. I mean, it's done and over with. I think the hard part of Superman is having a good villain, because your hero is only as good as your villain. And so if we were to take Superman down a notch to not quite the original, maybe he can fly. But if he's not so invulnerable, then I think you can have this come up with some really good bad guy, because as long as he's this super everything, you just have a super everything bad guy, and it's just like, you know, two Goliaths and a bunch of ants.
which can be good. I mean, that I think it comes down to the storyteller. What is the storyteller able to do?
Let me qualify my statement. I think it's hard to do in a movie medium, perhaps in comics or something like that, but I think in a movie medium, I think it's very hard to tell that story well.
Yeah, and the other thing the movie medium has to do is it has to have some real drama, and the drama has to come from the character. And I think that Superman, and this is something that isn't done well with him, at least in recent things that I've read, he needs to have a moral dilemma. But his moral dilemma is different than Batman's moral dilemma. Batman's moral dilemma, in some ways, I feel like it's, what can I get away with and still be on the side of the angels? And for Superman, I think it needs to be more than that. It needs to be, what is the right thing to do in this situation?
Right.
And you know, maybe put him in a gray area where he has to choose between two evils and end up coming up with a good instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not voting for Romney or Obama. He's
running for himself.
He's running himself. You know, he's, well, I can't vote for either of these guys. I'm going to run myself, not because I want to be president, but because, you know, whatever. You know, but
the truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah, yeah. And so I understand when people, you know, use the shorthand, similar with what the shorthand with Aquaman. What does he do? Talk to fish, you know? The shorthand with Superman is he's a Boy Scout. You know, he's too good to be true.
Right.
He's too powerful to be true. He's too nice to be true. And that's the way he's treated sometimes by writers who I don't think have a grasp on him. It's interesting. There's what was it called? There was a Superman graphic novel. Oh, what was it called? It was about a guy. He was asked to do an original graphic novel about Superman. And instead, he wrote an original graphic novel about writing a graphic novel about Superman. And basically, he's got these little mini stories about Superman in there, but it's him saying, I can't do this. There's nothing new to say about him. And in the process of trying to search for that something new, he found it in the story. It was really interesting.
Cool.
I wish I could remember the title of that one. I got it from the library. I don't have it on my shelf. Oh, well. It was by Steven something. Steven Seagal?
I don't think it's Steven Seagal.
It's Steven Seagal, I think. Superman.
Oh, I've got that book.
Steven Seagal.
I've got that book.
Yeah, it's a bird. It's called It's a Bird. Here it is on Amazon. Written by a personal story details one writer's attempt to find his missing father, come to terms with his family's legacy of Huntington's disease, reconcile with his girlfriend, and stave off writer's block. If that sounds like a job for Superman, well, that's the problem. He's been offered a plum assignment, the opportunity to write the ongoing Superman comic book. So anyway, I think that a writer could do justice to a Superman story, but I don't feel like it has happened. And I think that comes back to, you know, you were talking about Wonder Woman, Dr. Jace. I don't think there's any such thing as a bad character. I don't think there's any such thing as an absolutely stupid character. You were talking about Wonder Woman and the way she's handled by the writers and that kind of thing. And I think that's it, is that it's how the writers handle the character that makes it good or bad.
Yeah.
And Aquaman is a really good case in point. The new series is really good. Really surprisingly good.
Yeah. So. I mean, you take a character like Ambush Bug, you know, or, you know, I mean, there's lots of really bad characters who, in the right hands, you get yourself, you know, a quality story in some way. I mean, it could be over-the-top comedy. It could be, you know, just taking them out of their element and doing something completely different than originally intended. Doesn't matter. You know, a character can be written well. And
yeah. So take that, sci-fi Christian.
Yeah. Bizarro.
Bizarro Ben and Nemesis. Guys. Matt Nemesis and other guy. And
Legion of super not so
friends.
That's fine. Fine. Hey, you know what? If we're building a dodgeball team, we'll take Superman on our side. So
yeah.
Take that.
Yeah.
Take Darkseid.
Well, no, they have to take Batman because they like him so much.
Yeah, if we're playing dodgeball and Superman's on our side and Batman's on their side, we are still going to win.
Yep.
Because our next pick is going to be what? Martian Manhunter or Green Lantern?
I'd take, dodgeball, Green Lantern would be awesome.
Yeah. Flash would be good.
Flash, yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's what we should do. For the next thing, after Tournament of Champions, Dr. Jace?
Yeah.
We do dodgeball tournament.
Tournament of dodgeball.
Dodgeball tournament.
Picking a dodgeball team.
Yeah, Superman on one side. Yeah, and we do it just like the play yard. You pick.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. How about actually the three of us? We'll do a dodgeball game.
Dodgeball tournament. Yes. You know what, though? I'll take the dark horse. Okay? You can have Superman, but I'm taking the dark horse, and that's Wonder Woman. See, no one even thought about her because she's a woman.
You know, who is she again?
I actually would. She would be my third pick after Green Lantern or maybe Martian Manhunter. Maybe my fourth
Flash
pick.
Flash would be really, really good to have on a dodgeball team.
Yeah.
That's true, but if he scored, would you really believe him?
I would.
Well, you'd feel it.
Would you?
Yeah, he's throwing the ball really fast. I mean, it's going to hit you. You're going to know it. The question is, he's going to move so fast that you're not going to be able to see if he actually got hit.
No, he's going to throw it and, like, vibrate it through time.
That's my point, is that, you know, do I believe him? If Superman says that he scored, I believe him. But Flash? I don't know if I believe him so much.
I believe him. If he's on my team, I believe him.
Wally West, really?
Not Wally West. Barry Allen, I believe.
Yeah, Barry Allen. We're talking Barry Allen. We're talking the Flash. Come on.
Wally West was the Flash for a while, but
thank you.
In name only.
But Green Lantern would be good because he'd be able to. Well, what kind of powers are we allowing? That's the question.
Oh gosh, we have to define our rules later. I'm going to bed.
Well, thank you guys for joining me. And
I'm gonna have dreams of Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and you guys. Unfortunately,
you're welcome.
So, it's that time then. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. And on behalf of the Strangers and the Aliens, this is Ben Avery saying goodbye and Godspeed.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
I talked over your Godspeed. Do you want to do it again?
I'm going to do it again right now. Godspeed.
Bye.
Godspeed.
You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Dr. Jace O'Neill, and Steve McDonald. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. We invite you to join the conversation by visiting our website, www.strangersandaliens.com, where you'll find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we are at Strange and Alien, or like us on our Facebook page. If you'd like to email us directly, our email is podcast@strangersandaliens.com. And once again, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Ben Avery, and we are the Strangers and Aliens, signing off. If I don't think we're going to use that. We've already confused enough people with the opening music ripoff, and if people aren't familiar with the Sci-Fi Christian, they aren't going to get any of these jokes. You know, I thought about doing a Jack Kirby quote of the week joke, but I realized that wouldn't go over too well because he's no longer alive, and that means he's not doing too many quotes in a week.